Now back to the Greg Papa Show on 95.7 The Game.
When we were trying to sign Reggie, I phoned him up and I left a message on his answering machine. Reggie, this is God. I want you to play in Green Bay. And then I hung up the phone. After all the press conferences and everything, he came to my office. He goes, in his voice, he goes, hey, Mike, that was pretty funny. That was good.
That was back in 1993 when Mike Holmgren and the Green Bay Packers signed Reggie White to a big $17 million deal, acquiring his services away from the Philadelphia Eagles. And we are joined by the former coach, GM of the Seahawks. Of course, he was offensive coordinator here with the San Francisco 49ers, coached the Packers to a Super Bowl. Mike Holmgren joins the Afternoon Delight here on 95.7 The Game. And Mike, if you had Reggie White and the Chicago Bears, or any team for that matter, said, here's two twos, a third round pick and a sixth round pick, do you trade Reggie White?
Now, you know what? John Gruden is like my son. But I wouldn't trade Reggie White, no. And in fact, I was, I think people that knew me, I was probably more conservative that way. If I had a great, great football player, I try and keep him at all costs. Now, I understand that it's been very difficult for John. I heard his comments, and I understand that. But, you know, I used to tell my guy who in charge of finance, I go, hey, it's not your money. Let's just go, you know, let's just do this.
Yeah, signing Reggie White and the story about God was hilarious, Coach. But you obviously know John and you know Reggie. In fact, you know, I think even when Reggie got the job here, you had spoken to him about being involved in some capacity. So as the Raiders were bracing for the holdout of Khalil Mack in the offseason and how it all unfolded last week, did you have any direct communication to Reggie McKenzie? Did he seek your advice, Coach, on what to do in this scenario?
No, he didn't, and he really shouldn't. You know, he's a bright guy. He does a great job there. And in my brief time down there, which I thoroughly enjoyed and got a chance to understand the organization and get to know Mark Davis very well, they're in good hands. Reggie's a good man, and with John now, they have got a great combination there. Look, it comes down, you know, sometimes you get in situations that you don't like, but it just happens. And the amount of money that he signed for, and it's remarkable. And they got a great deal, but I always hated to lose a great player like that. I did.
I'm even wondering, how much you guys give Reggie White? How much did you and Ron Wolf give the Packer money and Bob Harlan to get him back in 93 compared to what these guys are making today, Coach?
Well, you know, it's startling. I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and it's at the time we were roundly criticized. What are they doing? You know, little Green Bay, and I think what we offered, I think it was an $8 million signing bonus, and then the contract, which was not crazy, but the contract was sizable. But $8 million, that was the thing that blew everyone away. And now you think of that in today's terminology. I'm stunned too when I hear those numbers.
Yeah, and obviously Khalil, after the trade was executed and he was a Bear, he got the $90 million guaranteed, 60 at signing, and he got even a little more than Aaron Donald. So, I guess the fundamental question the Raiders had to have is, and when they faced this crossroads, is you already gave Derek Carr such a big amount of money, and you know he's been compared. He wears number 4 because of your guy Brett Favre, Coach. And then the defensive side. Were you guys ever in a quandary in Green Bay? And you know, money is relative, but the salary cap was much lower than it is today at $177.2 million. Did you ever have to grapple with how much of our overall salary cap do we pay on the quarterback and the guy who runs our defense?
Well, I think you start with a quarterback, and I think if you look through the league, and you guys know this better than anybody. If you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to win. It really is. And so it starts there. And if you have a franchise quarterback, or you believe you have a franchise quarterback, it's the price of doing business. If Khalil Mack was their franchise quarterback, you know, then he'd still be there in all likelihood, because you have to have that guy. As much as you'd like the next guy in line, you know, it's not the same. And then I heard John mention this the other day, and he's absolutely right. You know, you have to project next season and how you're going to pay the rest of these guys, because you have to pay everybody. And how is that going to work? Look at in Seattle, they're going to have to deal with that when Russell Wilson's next contract. That's going to come up. I mean, it comes up every look at Green Bay is having to deal with Aaron Rodgers. So it's the price of finding the franchise quarterback. You don't let him go. You pay him. And then you figure out how to do the rest of the stuff.
Mike Holmgren, former Super Bowl winning head coach with the Green Bay Packers, also won a couple Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator with the San Francisco 49ers here on the Afternoon Delight with Papa and Bonte. Coach, you look at this trade here with Khalil Mack. It happens basically a week before the season starts. How do you think that locker room is feeling right now at this moment? And will John Gruden have to win over some players for making a deal like this?
You know, and I'm sure Khalil has good friends in that locker room, and I'm sure the players understand that we're bothered a little bit by it because he was such an integral part of their success and their future, in their opinion. But it was my recollection and feeling that the players, they get over it. They get over it. They understand the business side of it. They might not like it. If they have good friends, it's going to be harder. But they get over it, and they're concerned with how they're playing and their next deal and things like that as much as they will miss him. And so I think John will handle it well, and they'll move on.
Hey, Coach, when you were in Green Bay those early years, you had one of the greats with you, Ron Wolf, and obviously you guys worked so close together and got a Super Bowl, whether it was signing Reggie or trading for Brett Favre, and then later when you went to Seattle, as memory serves, you kind of had more of a handle on the personnel, and you were also the head coach there. So just with the background you've had in both scenarios, what advice would you give John Gruden, because you know John so well and you know Reggie so well, as John comes out of retirement to be involved not only in the coaching of the football team, but also having to make roster decisions?
Yeah, no, that's huge, and I lived through that in Seattle, and I learned a lot doing that. I always thought about Jimmy Johnson coaching the Dallas Cowboys, and when I was coaching in Seattle, is that Jimmy very much was very, very involved in the actual nuts and bolts of the personnel stuff. And if you remember, he hired Dave Wannstedt as his defensive coordinator and Norv Turner as his offensive coordinator, and essentially they did the football stuff. Jimmy was the boss and made final say on everything, but he divided up his time like 70-30, personnel to coaching. I was just the opposite. I was going to be all go in full bore on coaching and still be involved in the personnel and still have to make the final call, but then I hired really good people. I mean, I had Reggie McKenzie. I had Ted Thompson. I had John Dorsey, who's running Cleveland right now. I had Scott McLuhan. I had Mike Reinfeldt. I had all these guys in the front office, and I trusted them, and that's how we did it. And I think John has to do the same thing, because I know him, and I know how he dives into the football part of it. So it's pretty tough to divide your time and give the necessary time to all those things. So you have to trust the people you hire, and I think he has that in Reggie.
Coach, you're a former quarterback, of course, at Lincoln High School, which I won't hold against you, considering I'm a city kid who went to Washington and won all those bell games, Coach. Looking at the quarterbacks here in the Bay Area, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, I want to get your thoughts on these two guys, especially Derek Carr under John Gruden, and how he can evolve this year with the Oakland Raiders.
Well, I think, first of all, Derek Carr, I've always loved Derek Carr, how he plays, how he competes. And if you had to draw a picture of and put a personnel file together on the type of quarterback that would be a good fit for John, I think from an outsider looking in, I think it's Derek Carr. I will say this, John's tough on his quarterback. He's very demanding, and but he loves him to death. He just loves him, but he can get after him now. And so Derek Carr, he strikes me as someone that, bring it on. You know, I want that. It's a little like, you know, when I first got the 49ers and I was Joe Montana. I was 5 years removed from high school coaching, and I was going to coach Montana. And I'm going, what in the world? He won two Super Bowls, MVP. What am I going to teach him? How am I going to do this? And then Bill introduced Walsh, had us get together the first time. And I'm walking down to grab a Coke or something with Joe, and he just turns and stops me. He goes, Mike, I want you to coach me hard. Coach me hard. And I said, right away. I said, okay, this I see how this is going to work, and he opened the door for me, and I think that's what Carr does for with John.
And then as far as Jimmy, you know, when he rolls to his right, at times he takes us back to 16 in red. When you watch Jimmy Garoppolo play, coach, do you see any of Joe Montana?
Well, you know what? I've always said this. I'm very reluctant to compare anyone with Joe because I don't think that guy exists, really, I think. But Jimmy Garoppolo, what he did last year and how he led that team is remarkable. And he is the real deal. And, you know, being in the same division as the Seahawks, who I know very well, you know, it's going to be a fun season in that division. And because of the 49ers have found their quarterback, and I think if you know, we pray he stays healthy, and then he does what he does.
You know, I often think of what Coach Walsh would think about everything connected with the 49ers, and he loved the footwork of the quarterback. What do you think Coach Walsh would say about Jimmy Garoppolo, Coach?
Well, I think he'd be just the type of quarterback that he would love to have. I remember what a stickler Bill was, and I learned from him, and I owe Bill a great deal. You know, the attention to detail, he always used to talk about that, and when you watch Garoppolo play, there's his motion, his footwork, how he does things. It's very smooth. That part of it's like Joe, but very smooth, and there's no wasted movement. And that's the type of quarterback that you had to coach to make Bill Walsh happy. And Jimmy Garoppolo is that type of guy.
Yeah, the godfather of the West Coast passing game. He invented it all. He has his coaching tree that really is into every organization and all of football, but you do as well. When you look back on those days, how many head coaches you have on the staff? Andy Reid, you had John, you had Mooch. Am I missing anybody else?
Doug Peterson, was he on a staff?
Doug was a player for me.
Played for him.
I had Dick Duron and Ray Rhodes and Mike Sherman. And yeah, there's a few guys. And every time I played against those guys, there'd be a sense of pride looking across the field, honestly. But then the game started, but like playing pickup basketball with your brother in the backyard. It's just all-out war, you know?
That had to be a lot of fun. I remember coaching against Gruden and all these guys. What are you up to these days, Coach? Are you thinking about getting back into the game, maybe in a consultant role? What's going on in your world, Coach?
Well, no, you know, I'm doing a little bit of your stuff, a little bit of the radio stuff, and I'm enjoying it. And broadcast a couple of games on Westwood and then have my gig in Seattle. But honestly, when the 49ers a few years ago, when I reached out to them and they told me I was too old, it was probably something I needed to hear. And you know, because you coach a long time, you get flattered when your name is mentioned. But I'm into other things now, trying to raise money for our church and different nonprofits. And I get to vacation with my family and see my grandkids. So yeah, I'm not getting back in it, but it's fun to watch and fun to talk to you guys about the guys that I had. And, you know, like Rude, he's like the son I never had. He's one of my guys, and I wish him well this season.
Thank you so much for the time, Coach. This was a joy for us as well.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Too old? How old was Marv Levy when he was coach of the Bills? He was damn near 80.
It seemed like he was 85, right?
Come on.
Holmgren's only 70.